Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our online service as well. Thank you, DA, for leading us. And by that word, by the way, that word Noel comes to us from the French language, and before that, actually from Latin, which is about being born. We're celebrating the birthday of the one who came to our world. We're so glad that you are here with us today, and by the way, it was mentioned earlier, Bart is going to be back at the end of my message today to make a special announcement, so make certain that you remain following the close of the message this morning. Well, I am certain that you are missing all the usual gatherings together, special activities that are normally a part of this season. I certainly am. But I've been thinking that maybe as we are forced to strip away a lot of the things that we normally associate with Christmas, that maybe we are actually able to focus even more clearly on the true meaning of Christmas. Jesus coming to our world and all that means. So let's continue to pray and encourage one another through this Christmas season and for our world that they might hear the message of Jesus. Well, our series of messages in this Advent season we have called Unexpected. And we are certainly living in unexpected times, aren't we? I found myself thinking back to a year ago, and some research has revealed that COVID-19 was likely already active in our world outside of China. We had no idea what was coming and how it would impact our lives, but it had already arrived. Well, over 2,000 years ago, the unexpected happened while the rest of the world lay sleeping, and the world has never been the same. This event changed people's lives. But unlike COVID-19, this was not the outworking of an unseen virus, likely the result of our brokenness and fallenness and human frailty. But the gift of 2,000 years ago was a gift from God. In fact, the greatest gift ever, a gift from heaven, a gift to address our great need. And although this gift had actually been prophesied for centuries and in some ways anticipated, for the people who were immediately impacted by the gift of God, it was most certainly unexpected. A couple weeks ago, Johnny looked at Zechariah and his family and their unique role. Last week, Pastor Tyler, we considered Mary. And today we're going to be primarily considering a small group of shepherds who were unexpectedly brought into the arrival of this gift, this grace of God, this unexpected grace. Unexpected grace. While if you are familiar with the biblical narrative of Jesus' birth, you know the prominent and special place the shepherds were given. I wonder if you have ever reflected on how their unexpected experience and the grace that they were given might parallel and actually speak into our own experience. As I reflected again on this narrative and their amazing experience, I found myself seeing rich parallels for us to consider and I want to explore that with you today. The narrative is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20, and we're going to look at this in three different sections. First, verses 8 to 14. Let me read this passage of Scripture with you, and you might want to follow along on your device or Bible, whatever you have. Again, Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8 through to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, or Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." Amen. While what took place that night for those shepherds was certainly unexpected, and their initial reaction of being terrified is certainly understandable, I expect we can all see that they were being given an incredible gift. And the question that maybe should be surfacing in our minds is, well, why shepherds? Why did they get to have such an amazing encounter? Why were they chosen to receive such a grace as this? While there are some differing opinions about who these shepherds were that were watching flocks not far from Bethlehem, some have suggested that these were maybe temple sheep that the shepherds were watching that would be used for the temple sacrifice. An interesting connection as the sinless Lamb of God enters the world. But it's generally understood and certainly historically agreed that shepherds were on a pretty low rung on the ladder of social status and prestige. These weren't important people. Bible teacher and author Randy Alcorn writes, "In Christ's day, in Jesus' day, shepherds stood on the bottom rung of the Palestinian social ladder. They shared the same unenviable status as tax collectors and dung sweepers." While in earlier times in Israel's history, shepherding was certainly an important and common role, it appears that by New Testament times, by the time of Jesus, shepherds held no special place in society. And given that context, it's even more unexpected that God would send His glorious angels to shepherds to announce the arrival of the Messiah. You would generally think that this would come to maybe the priests, the religious officials of the day, people maybe in high government, the movers and shakers of society, those in great esteem, well-respected. I mean, if you want to make a splash, go to the in group, right? Why bother with shepherds? But of course, if you read the Gospels and the story of Jesus, you realize that this is amazingly consistent. Jesus himself didn't grow up in a well-to-do family, but as Tyler pointed out last week, a peasant family, a low-income family. This is the family that God chose to bear and to raise the Messiah. From the world's perspective, nobody special. And Jesus was raised, nurtured in the town of Nazareth, not the power center of Israel, like Jerusalem. No, kind of the outback of Israel. And when Jesus began his public ministry, who does he call to be his disciples? Fishermen, tax collector, so on. Not the well-to-do and highly influential, and so it goes. Jesus' reputation was that he loved sinners, riffraff. Unexpected grace. Later, when the Apostle Paul writes his first letter to the church at Corinth, where they were kind of in a bit of conflict about status and position, who's better, so on, he pens these inspired words. Verse 26, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things they are that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Unexpected grace. God, you see, chooses the unexpected. Grace comes to us. Grace came to the shepherds. Grace came to the first disciples. Grace came to the church in Corinth. Grace came and comes to the people of Richview. You and I are here by amazing grace, by unexpected grace. Well, the announcement of the Savior to those shepherds by angels was unique, a special grace. The circumstances that led to your hearing, and I trust believing in the gospel of Jesus, is also special, unexpected grace. Grace comes to undeserving people like you and me. I grew up in a Christian home, knew the stories of Jesus from when I was a child. But when, as a teenager, my heart was convicted of my sin, and I bowed my head to Jesus, that was unexpected grace. You see, I was headed down a path away from him. But in his grace, his Spirit spoke to me, this simple farm boy, and I became a child of the living God. What's your story? How did the message of Jesus' love come to you? It's not likely as dramatic as the shepherds, but of this I am certain, it is unexpected grace. For if you have believed in him, it is because you were chosen by him. No less than these shepherds were chosen to hear. The narrative continues, verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. While grace comes to us, and we are never deserving of it, we do need to respond to it. And while maybe it's hard to imagine these shepherds ignoring this announcement, it's clear that they needed to make a decision to take the next step. They needed to respond to the grace they had received if they were going to experience even more of it. The text indicates that a little discussion ensued among the shepherds, and they agreed to go check it out. Let's go and see. That required a change of plans, and who knows who they left in charge of the sheep. You see, sometimes you have to let some things go to respond to grace, to take that next step. Sometimes it means carving out some time, embarking on a journey of discovery. I think that sometimes even questions are a sign of grace at work that can lead to greater grace. One of the wonderful testimonies of our time is the journey of Lee Strobel, who was a journalist in Chicago who actually initially set out to disprove Christianity. He had so many questions and doubts and concerns, but he went on a journey to pursue it, and he came to a clear and bold faith in Christ. His well-articulated research is found in a couple of books. One, The Case of Christ, The Case for Faith. I put covers on the screen so that it might cause a visual reminder. If you've never read them, I would just encourage you to get them. Not only if you have questions and doubts about this Jesus and the authenticity of his death and resurrection, but if you already believe, to strengthen your faith. While grace is a gift that comes to us, we must yet respond to grace, even pursue it. What might that mean to you? The shepherds took the next step, went off to see for themselves what the angel had announced. They went to check it out. Who knows how many places they had to check out before they discovered the one with a baby in a manger. Grace requires a response. And to experience more, we have to take and continue to take those next steps. It might involve some study. It might involve talking to a pastor or a Christian friend. It might involve signing up to take an online course. It might involve getting involved in a ministry or going on a missions trip. There's so many ways. Let me encourage you to take those next steps, to keep going. Christianity is meant to be investigated. Grace can be pursued. The shepherds went and saw for themselves Mary and Joseph and the baby. And that was more unexpected grace than even the angel's announcement. But it required that they take the next step. The narrative then tells us, going on in verse 17, when they had seen him, the baby Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard about it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. In short, the shepherds were transformed. They were no longer just recipients of this unexpected grace. Now they were proclaimers. They were worshipers and proclaimers. Two signs of genuine, authentic faith. Worshipers, proclaimers. They were now alive to the things of God. When grace comes to us, we respond to it. It changes us. Changes us. These shepherds were no longer the same. So that goes. So it continues. Later in this same Gospel of Luke, the author records Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus. I love this story. Zacchaeus was a wealthy tax collector. And like most tax collectors through the centuries, was despised by the people. He was special to nobody. But even worse, in those days, he got rich by being the middleman between the people and the ruling Roman government. But whether prompted by grace or curiosity, likely both, he went to check Jesus out. And so the story goes, as Jesus was traveling through that town, Zacchaeus climbed a sycamore tree for a better look. And Jesus, in unexpected grace, calls him out, calls him down, invites himself right into Zacchaeus' home, and ultimately right into his heart. Listen to how Zacchaeus responded to grace. Luke 19, verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Unexpected grace. Grace transformed those shepherds. It transformed Zacchaeus, and it has transformed countless millions through the centuries. When I began university a number of years ago, I was going to be a math teacher, and then later switched to computer science. Both legitimate, appropriate, good pursuits. But following Jesus and taking those next steps ultimately led me to a very different path. A path that for the last couple years has wonderfully included being here at Richview. For me, more and more unexpected grace. You see, if we respond to grace, grace will change us. It will change our passions. It will change our priorities. It may lead us down paths we would never have anticipated. It may not be easy. In fact, most likely, it will cost you a great deal. Jesus says it will. But even then, you will experience grace. For God will meet you and help you and guide you and bless you if you continue to follow Him. Have you responded to grace? Unexpected grace may be coming to you even today, even right now. Will you respond to grace? The angel said to those shepherds, "Don't be afraid." Sometimes we need to not be afraid when grace comes. "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." If you've never put your faith in this Jesus, the Savior of the world, do it today. Let Him transform your life. The gospel writer John, the very front of his gospel writings, penned these words: "From the fullness of his grace, we have all received blessing after blessing." Unexpected grace. That's what's in store for everyone who responds to this grace of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this rich story. These humble shepherds who received unexpected grace and transformed their lives. In some ways we're very different, but in maybe ways that matter, we're no different at all. We're here to hear the announcement of Jesus. And we have heard it and continue to hear it. And may we respond to this unexpected grace that continues to be proclaimed in our world. Father, cause us to be like those shepherds who worship you and proclaim you. May this be the purpose of our lives. Father, for anyone who may be struggling to know that you are real, that you are for them, that they matter, that they are significant in your sight, speak to them today. And may your grace touch them, change them, help them. From the precious name of Jesus, I would pray it. Amen. Amen. And now, as promised, I'm going to invite Bart to come and make a special announcement. Thanks, Bart.
Good morning. Over the past 2 years, since the death of our brother and friend, Joe Boychuk, Richview has been blessed with the incredible godly transitional pastoral team of Ed McLean and Tyler Scarborough. But we've always known that this time was temporary. And so for the past year, the search committee has been working to find a permanent lead pastor for Richview. The search committee, I was a member of it, we put together a job description, advertised broadly, and received applications, over 40 from around the world, of godly men. From that, we reduced it down to a shorter list of 20 and then 10. We listened to many sermons, read many CVs, and finally produced a short list of four people who we would interview in much more detail. The short list had a broad range of experiences and backgrounds, long-term pastor, a experienced executive pastor from a larger church, a church planner, an associate pastor from a church, well, a lot like this one. We went into interviews. These were covering a wide range of topics, theology and scripture, personal disciplines and lifestyle, leadership, discipleship, working in a multicultural context. A total of 6 hours of interviews with each of these men. It was a grueling experience. For us and for the candidates, but also really encouraging just to see how God has called these incredible people to ministry. At the end of this, the question was, are any of these men called to be our lead pastor here at Richview? And the answer was an unambiguous yes. One person clearly stood out on many items. This was brought to the elders, who also interviewed the candidate, and wholeheartedly endorsed the nomination. So it's my pleasure to announce to you that we are nominating to the church as our new lead pastor, Tyler Scarborough, who I think you all know. So, next steps. There will be a chance in the middle of January to meet with Tyler online for members of the church to meet with Tyler online to ask any remaining questions. After that, there's the important congregational vote to affirm our nomination of Tyler to our lead pastor position. This will happen in the middle of January with an intended start date of February 1st when Tyler would move into his new position. Pastor Ed will continue to work with us over a transitional period of the first quarter of 2020. As you know, or may not know, our 2021 budget includes a associate pastor position. So the board, along with Tyler, will be working to define this new position, and we'll then proceed to fill that. So we are so excited about what God has in store for Richview, and excited to continue to work with Tyler. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you give us wisdom when we ask. We thank you that you guide and direct us, and we thank you that this is your church and that you care deeply. Lord, we pray for the body as we consider this nomination. I pray that there would be unity, that there would be confidence and excitement, that if there are concerns, that they would be clear, but if there's not, that there would be unity and joy and excitement as we vote in January. I pray that you will bless your church. I thank you that you are God and you are sovereign over all. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.